pardon the eruption, but I'm Pablo Torre. I am back on the show, which means you must have enjoyed having me last week, Tony.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Enjoyed, that's a little strong. I mean, others
strong?
Have suggested tolerated. If you want to stay with the E, endured. I like you
endured.
Very much, but enjoyed. Enjoyed.
What, endured? Am I a land war? What am I here? A tickle?
Yes.
I can get a tickle in there?
We endured.
You were tickled to have me.
The French and Peloponnesian Wars with Pablo Torre. Welcome, PTI boys and girls. Wilbon couldn't make it to Tuesday. So I'm joined by our great friend from the ESPN Daily podcast, Mr. Pablo Torre. Big cheers. They enjoy you. And we begin today with news from LeBron land. Carmelo Anthony, yes, Carmelo Anthony has signed with the Lakers. This gives the Lakers another huge name to go along with LeBron, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, and it adds to the series of aged role players, including old friends Trevor Ariza and Dwight Howard, that they have added in the last 24 hours. Pablo, what do you make of the old school squad the Lakers are assembling?
First, I love, Tony, that Malik Monk also signed for the minimum with this collection of players. So you have a 20-something-year-old with a bunch of old guys, and I empathize with Malik Monk every time I show up to do this show with you. So I get some aspect of this. However, a lot of this feels like something of a reboot in this sense. A reboot is when you bring in, like, you know, high-flying celebrities, big names, and all of that. But underneath, it's the same movie, right? It's the same movie. And the movie to me still, Tony, is, are LeBron and Anthony Davis going to be healthy in the playoffs? And is Russell Westbrook going to change? Those are the questions that matter. This other stuff seems like decoration around that.
So I'm going to take the side you would expect me to take in this, which is to concentrate on the age of these people, because when I'm working with you, I think, my God, he's 70 years younger than I am. So I'll concentrate on the age for a second. Let's look at LeBron. LeBron is 36. Russell Westbrook is 32. But there's very little tread left on those tires. Those guys have worked hard for a long time. Anthony Davis is the only real player under 30 that they have, but he breaks down all the time. He's got the body of a 60-year-old. Carmelo is 37 years old. I guess he's been in the league in Portland for a while, but I don't know much about him anymore, except that he's 37 and may have come in with LeBron. Dwight Howard, this is great. He entered the league in 2004, Dwight Howard. Trevor Ariza, he's 36 years old. He was on the 2009 championship team with Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol. So they're not just old. They're the senior tour of the NBA right now. They're going to petition to get their games to start at 5 in case they want to go to sleep at 7:30 in the evening. Look, I love them. I love LeBron. I want them to win. But they are literally picking up guys off the street because there's no money. Those three big guys have all the money, and everybody else who comes in is coming in for car fare and a sandwich.
Yeah, I love that there is a purple and golden girls dynamic here, to steal a line from Joe Mandy on this. This is a very old collection of players that, by the way, if you're a Lakers fan, Tony, I just want you to be aware of this. They are delusionally excited about every bit of this because you know what they love in Hollywood, of course? They love the names. And they have names that you remember,
sure,
even if those names are, as you say, worn down to the bone because they are, in fact, somewhat geriatric. But
I will just say this, Pablo, it will not surprise me if they win. It will not surprise me if these old people will themselves into one run. Will not.
Because if LeBron and Anthony Davis are healthy, all things are possible. But beyond the Lakers, Tony, the first night of free agency was dominated by point guards. We had Chris Paul re-signing with the Suns, Mike Conley doing the same thing with the Jazz, Kyle Lowry now with the Miami Heat, and Lonzo Ball is now with the Chicago Bulls. So which of those moves is most notable to you?
So the most notable thing in all is the astronomical salaries that you get paid for playing in the NBA, even if you're not a great star. I have no
great
idea
business.
Where this money comes from. I know you would say to me, well, it comes from TV, but the ratings are never any good. So at some point, it seems to me this bubble may burst. Maybe it'll never burst. In terms of specificity, the thing I got most excited about, honestly, was Lonzo Ball going to Chicago. Lonzo Ball has done that hard thing that Magic Johnson did and that Rick Barry did a long time ago. He's made himself a better shooter. He is a better shooter right now, Lonzo Ball. But right now, the Chicago Bulls are awash in Los Angeles Guards. Lonzo Ball grew up in L.A. and played at UCLA. Zach LaVine played at UCLA. The guy Caruso, Alex Caruso, just played 4 years for the Los Angeles Lakers. And they picked up DeMar DeRozan. And DeMar DeRozan also from L.A. and played at USC. So we talk about going Hollywood with the Lakers. This is a Hollywood thing for Chicago. And I think that Wilbon will probably be tremendously offended when he finds out Chicago has gone Hollywood.
Well, I want to talk about Wilbon going to Phoenix, Hollywood in a different sense, because the dude is out there, Tony, writing a book with Chris Paul. And so my attention goes there. Is this new development? Is this an epilogue? Is this like a Robert Caro multi-volume tome that Wilbon is doing with Chris Paul? Because what Chris Paul has just done here, signing a 4-year deal at age 36 for, I believe, approximately $1 zillion is the mathematical sum here.
Yeah.
What he is doing is not only building a market for the old guys, he also built a market for Kyle Lowry. So I see those two stories connected. I see Chris Paul being the guy you plug in as a point guard to a team, take him to the finals maybe. I see the Miami Heat saying, wait a minute, there is another 35-ish-year-old point guard who can allegedly lead a locker room, be installed from the jump, and take us to the next level. I think Chris Paul's success in Phoenix has led to Kyle Lowry getting this contract now with the Miami Heat.
That's interesting, because I always thought Chris Paul wanted to go to the Lakers, and I guess the Lakers chose Russell Westbrook ahead of Chris Paul, and Chris Paul has to settle for just being fabulously wealthy. I'm not as impressed that Kyle Lowry will lead Miami back over Milwaukee or the Nets as some others are, though I think he's a very good player. The one thing that gave me great joy was Duncan Robinson getting $90 million. And the reason it gave me joy is he started out as a D3 player at Williams College. Undrafted D3, making money.
The most ever. Mm.
Making money. Let's move to the United States Olympic basketball team, once again beating Spain, as they always do in the Olympics. This is 4 straight Olympiads that this has happened. Spain's very good, full of current and former NBA players. The United States is better, though, and has far more NBA players because they're all NBA players. Pablo, are you becoming bullish on Team USA's prospects for gold?
Not quite yet. I'm going to hold, as the stock market parlance goes, Tony, because this game against Spain, it was a victory, yes. They beat them also before the Olympics started. What I was concerned by was the fact that this was not at all easy. In the second quarter, Spain was up by 10, right? You know, Ricky Rubio shows up looking messianic in terms of his beard and his long hair, and he ends up playing messianically as well. He had 38, I believe, the most ever scored against an American men's basketball team ever. So the issue here is that, yes, they get a big win over a good team, but the symptoms, the problems, the fact that Damian Lillard couldn't get off the bench for the last 7 minutes of this game because he's not shooting well and seemingly is nothing like himself, that, to me, is very worrisome headed into the semifinal.
Okay, so last week, Wilbon was on the show. And Wilbon said, after the American team lost to France, he said, oh, boy, you know, the Czech Republic, they're really good. In Iran, they only lost to France by 6 or 7. They're really good. He says, and that the gap is closed. Everybody has caught up to us. And I listened to this, and I rolled my eyes a couple of times. And I thought to myself and then said the following. Iran is a 50-point game. The Czech Republic is a 30-point game. And the United States is going to win the gold medal. And I'm going to stay. I'll play hold also. I'll play hold on that particular position. I understand that Australia and Slovenia are very good. Australia, I think, in Las Vegas in an exhibition game, beat the United States.
Yes.
But if I'm not mistaken, the NBA Finals were still going on. So Booker and Middleton and Holiday were not available to the Americans then. And Kevin Durant, somebody looked this up for him, he scored 17 points, so I think he was sort of distracted. Kevin Durant's the best basketball player in the world. And if Kevin Durant is on, with minimal help, the United States is the best team. I'm glad you mentioned Ricky Rubio, because all he does in the United States is pass. I always thought he could be great.
Mind-boggling.
But he became the prototypical point guard that he was always passing. Always passing. Spain's been good for a while, not quite on the American level. That's all.
But that final, Tony, if they make it to the gold medal game, think about it, though. It's not just Australia, which has now won 2 games in a row, I believe, against Team USA. Slovenia has not lost because they have Luka Doncic. With guy on their team, they have not lost. And so the idea that Kevin Durant versus Luka in a gold medal game, regardless of who wins, I want to see that specific matchup happen. Apologies to Oceania.
No, I totally agree with that. Totally agree. Let's take a break. Coming up, are the Sixers smart by keeping a high asking price for Ben Simmons?
And the Yankees get upstaged by a cat that can break ankles.
So here's what the Lakers have to do this week. They have to sign Pau Gasol and Derek Fisher. I mean, just go all the way on this.
Yeah, and then
bring
go,
back your
go to
old
the chiropractor
guys.
Right after that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
In that order.
No. Again, you don't bet against them. You might think they'll lose.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Pablo aspired to be a doctor, and he ended up a sports writer. I, on the other hand, aspired to be a sports writer. I ended up a doctor. I'd say that's a big win for me. What's first?
The Sixers' asking price for Ben Simmons is blank.
It's unrealistic. Let me set the scene here. David Aldridge in The Athletic said that they're looking for 4 first-round picks and an all-star caliber player. Let me just deal with the picks for a second. I think Oklahoma City has stockpiled a bunch of picks. I think if I'm correct, they have 25 first-round picks next year and 45 first-round picks the year after.
Correct.
They're hoarding first-round picks like toilet paper at the beginning of the pandemic. I don't think all of these picks are particularly useful. I think any coach in the league would rather have a young veteran than a pick on any level. To me, these picks are like Bitcoin. That's a concept that most people don't really understand. So I don't think they're going to get anything like that. If I ran the Sixers, honestly, I've said this before, this guy is 6'10". He's a great defender. He's a great passer. I wouldn't be cashing him in this quickly. I would get a coach, Pablo, and I would get a psychologist to work with him. And people say the Sixers have done this. My answer is get different people. Find
the key,
like they found with Lonzo Ball.
But you know the key. The key shooting coach / psychologist is Rick Barry. I want that guy to teach Ben Simmons how to shoot underhand, because I will try anything at this point, because I, like you, believe in a 25-year-old who is under 4 more years of cost control, who was just voted the best defensive player in the NBA by his peers in some poll I read on the internet. I'm sure it's true. And also was an all-NBA player. So for me, the word here is grand mastery, actually, because what Daryl Morey, the actual GM of the Sixers, is doing is he's saying to himself, look, I don't want to give this guy up for a discount, because in the regular season last year, I had the number one team in the East. Now, I know the landscape is shifting beneath our feet right now. Obviously, teams are going to get better than they were last year. But to me, you play the waiting game. It's chess, it's patience, it's grand mastery, because the guy I want is Damian Lillard, and that guy ain't available until he demands out when the season starts.
Maybe I would do that, but if I could get Ben Simmons to be great, I'd keep Ben Simmons for the next 12 years.
No, same.
Next.
Same.
The cat that stopped play at Yankee Stadium last night was blank.
One tool. The cat can run. We see the cat can run. The cat can't hit. The cat can't hit with power. The cat can't field. The cat can't throw. It's a one-tool cat. So we get to watch the cat scamper around in the outfield. And we get to watch the cat get up on the bullpen wall. And we get to watch the cat do, like, great vertical jumping. And we get to watch the cat avoid and evade the groundskeepers for some long period of time. And we get to hear Yankee fans chant MVP at the cat. And is it amusing? To a degree, Pablo, it is amusing. But for me, it's sort of like when you're stuck at a big celebration and they keep doing fireworks, and after a while you say, enough already, I'm bored with this, let's move on. And that's how I felt about the cat.
How dare you is how I begin this answer. How dare you disparage this cat? You haven't seen this cat do the things, try to do the things you mentioned, Tony. To me the word is apex predatory, because a cat, a allegedly common house cat, is the apex predator of any food chain ecosystem he enters. This, you know what he does besides run the bases better than any of the Yankees currently on the team right now, because they're the worst base running team anyone's ever seen? This cat can kill and hunt down rats. Give me a skill that's more important. Give me a tool more important in New York City than the ability to do that.
Apex what? What was the second part of that? You
predatory.
Lost me at apex.
Apex predator. Come on.
Apex predatory. That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Pablo's guy Bob Bowlsby and what's left of the Big 12 may be getting desperate.
And more bad injury news for the Indianapolis Colts.
I didn't think of that cat as predatory. I felt my dog Chessy would chase that cat right out of the Bronx.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 96th birthday, Marv Levy. Just roll that over a little bit. 96. Levy was in the Air Force during World War II. Come on, World War II. Levy was Phi Beta Kappa at Coe College in Iowa, where he played football and was an English major. He got a master's degree from Harvard in English history. We're talking about an admirable, educated man, but he is best known as a football coach and one of those who never won a Super Bowl. Indeed, Levy got his Buffalo Bills there four straight years. And four straight years, the Bills lost that game. So this is the central question as we regard Marv Levy. Is it greatness that gets a team to the Super Bowl four straight years? The only team to get there four straight years? Or does history judge Levy and the Bills of Jim Kelly, Bruce Smith, Thurman Thomas, and Andre Reed as the NFL's ultimate losers? I cannot bring myself to do that.
No, Marv Levy, Tony, he not only got that master's at Harvard in English history, he dropped out of Harvard Law, if my mom is listening, to then become a football coach who is a Hall of Famer. And I just love that we are celebrating that man turning 96 and not Tom Brady turning 44, I believe. So apologies to, you know, that guy.
Your mom wants you to be a doctor. Grow up and be
a doctor. I've heard.
Happy anniversary, Steve Spurrier. On this day 19 years ago, the old ball coach made his NFL coaching debut with the Washington football team and pasted the 49ers 38-7 in an exhibition in Japan. Things didn't go as well when Spurrier returned to the United States. His teams went 12-20 in two seasons, and that was it. After the second season, when Washington was 5-11, Spurrier reviewed the season this way, and I'm quoting here, "We wound up 5-11, not very good, but there's some worse than us. I guess that's one positive way to look at it. We weren't the worst team in the league," unquote. I have a soft spot in my heart for Spurrier, who won a national championship at Florida as a college coach and the Heisman Trophy there as a college player. How many Heisman winners became head coaches in the NFL? Spurrier, he's the list. 2 years ago, after the AF folded, Spurrier declared his 7-1 Orlando Apollos champions, and he had rings made. Love it.
Tony, Steve Spurrier had another incredible quote. Famously, there was a fire in an Auburn dorm or something. 20 books were burned to a crisp. Spurrier goes, the real shame of it, I'm paraphrasing here, is that 15 of them hadn't even been colored yet.
Spurrier is tremendous.
Love
Happy it. Trails to the world record in the 400 meter hurdles. For those of you of a certain age, this is the event Edwin Moses made famous. One lap, 10 hurdles. The two best runners were Carsten Warholm of Norway and Rye Benjamin of the United States. And they ran the fastest race ever. Both of them broke the world record. Warholm ran 45.94, lowering his own world record by 3/4 of a second, which is huge. Benjamin ran 46.17, which would have been a new world record, except for Warholm. Benjamin called it, quote, the best race in Olympic history. The bronze medalist, Alisson dos Santos of Brazil, ran 46.72, which would have been a world record from 1992 until last month when Warholm broke it. Six of the eight runners in this race set national records. The last word goes to Benjamin, and I quote, no one in history is going to go out there and do what we just did.
Yeah, I hate to be the last word after the last word, but the reality, Tony, of record breaking in this point in human history is that science, the track, all of these minor marginal modifications matter. And these guys wore shoes that had carbon force plates in them and had foam on the bottom, and the track was real fast. So I'm not saying this will never happen again. I'm just saying that this happens because there are other advancements that were not available to people in the past.
One omission, the Lakers have also added Kendrick Nunn, who averaged nearly 15 for the Heat last season. Let's go quickly, please, to the big finish. Simone Biles won bronze on the balance beam. Were you impressed?
I was. She had the yips and then figured it out and won bronze. That's incredible. Meanwhile, the Athletic reports, Tony, the Big 12 head, Bob Bowlesby, he's meeting with the Pac-12 and their guy, George Klebikov, today smelling merger.
No, I'm smelling the spoiled meat of the Big 12. They're done. Colts left guard Quentin Nelson out 5 to 12 weeks. Everybody's out 5 to 12 weeks with a Carson Wentz-like foot injury. Big deal.
You had me at Carson Wentz. Yes, a big deal. Meanwhile, Giants coach Joe Judge ended practice after a brawl that was team-wide. Does that make sense?
You don't want Daniel Jones or Saquon Barkley hurt. Last one, Astros at Dodgers tonight. What do you expect, Pablo?
I'm expecting revenge, a dish best served cold. They're back in front of LA fans, finally.
Out of time. Try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Pablo Torre, reading off a phone. Thank you for watching. Please check out ESPN Daily, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, all those things. And by the way, your sports center.
Michael and Liz, happy anniversary.